Glad we live in a free country this morning. I believe we live in the greatest country on earth. Any of y'all fought in the military, I want to thank you for your service to our country. And it's not lightly. Don't think we stand here today because America was founded upon prosperity or fame or fortune or any other thing. But it's founded on the Word of God. And it was founded for people who wanted to get independent from some people that didn't want to serve God. And I'm glad I'm free. I'm independent from Satan this morning, and I'm dependent on the Savior this morning. And I want to thank Him for what He's done for me. If you have your Bible, be finding Psalm chapter number 61. I'm going to read a few verses there. While you're turning there, I want to tell you a story. I was in a couple of weeks ago, I got in my truck, got the oil changed and the tires rotated. And I looked, and God will put you in places sometimes, and it began to bring things into your mind about the things that are around you. And I looked at that car dealership, and I got to thinking about it. I sat in that service line, and I noticed everybody was coming in there was getting their car worked on. And if God began to compare that car line with the church, you know, putting that car lot with that church. Some people, they drove by that car lot while I was sitting in there, and they looked at those new cars, and they said that they couldn't count the cost. They couldn't pay the cost for those cars. They didn't want a new life. You know, many people today will pass by this church, and they'll look at it and say, I want what those people have got, but they'll keep going. And there'll be many that'll go by, you know, that they'll put their car in service line, you know, and I noticed this, so they come out, and I went over there just to get my oil changed. When I come back, the guy said, you need, not only do you need your oil changed and your tires rotated, you need your cabin air filter on the inside changed, and then you need your belt changed also. And I began to think, that's kind of like us. We sit in church, and God's going to give us something, and the guy comes and he said, do you want to pay for it or not? And then we have an option to pay for it or walk out. And a lot of times we come in and we walk out what God's give us. I want to look today at a couple of verses here found in Psalm 61. It's became one of my greatest Bible verses in my life. You know, and it's found here in Psalm chapter number 61. I'll begin reading in verse number 1. It says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows, for thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him, so I will sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. The other morning I got up to my workplace, and I was going to sit down a little bit, and I was going to work, and I was going to take a couple of days off this week. I was going to take off Thursday and Friday, and I did. I took them off. But Wednesday, when I pulled up in there, you know what I did? I examined myself, and I said, I may not can take vacation for the workload that I've got. There's so much stuff going on around me, I may not be able to take Thursday and Friday off for the things that are going on around me. David said in verse number 2, he said, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David had a time in his life that he was so overwhelmed that he was going to need somebody to lead him to Jesus. Let me tell you what that rock was. That rock was Jesus, because over in the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4, it defines that rock. And it said, they all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed him, and that rock was Christ. David said there was going to be a time when the things of this world was so over going to come compass him, that he couldn't do anything but be overwhelmed. When I pulled up in that computer Wednesday morning, I said, there's no way I can do all this. But it came to overwhelm me. And you may be here today and you may be overwhelmed by the things that are going on around you. But I'm going to tell you, there is a rock that is higher than I. And if I could point you to it this morning, I'd point you to Jesus and say, you can't overcome it and you can't defeat it. But I tell you one who can. The word overwhelm means to overspread or crush beneath something violent or weighty that covers, that encompasses the whole, as to overwhelm with waves, to immerse and bear down in a figurative sense, as to be overwhelmed with cares, affliction, or business. I wrote this down. I said, we live in a fast-paced world with a fast-paced life, with a fast-paced problems, and we desire a fast-paced answer and solution to all of our troubles. A lot of times we come in and we say, we've been blessed, you know, and we start looking at the things around us. You remember Peter when the waves got up on the sea over in Matthew 14? It said when the waves, he stepped out of the boat and he was going to go to Jesus, and Jesus had told him to come. But I tell you what he did. He stepped out and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But I tell you what, he saw those winds. It was all boisterous all around him. You know what he began to do? He began to sink. And I'm going to tell you here this morning, you may think that the waves are over your head, but let me tell you that when the waves are over your head, they're still under his feet this morning. I want to look, first of all, I want to look for this in this passage of Scripture and go verse by verse. I want you to know, first of all, Jesus is the strength for those who are shaken. He's a strength for those who are shaken. He said there, he said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That rock is Petra. You remember over in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, he said, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God has set you here in a watering trough this morning, and we owe it to our pastor. I bow down to this man over here. I began thinking the last time I taught, and I taught, you know, and he let me teach again during the service, and I thought this in my heart, and I should have texted it to him, but I'll tell him here in person this morning. I said, a good teacher cannot teach without a preacher that does not preach. Amen. A good teacher cannot teach without a preacher that does not preach. And I owe it all to that man right there for the things he's taught me in the years I've been saved. I got saved and came in this church and didn't know much about worship, didn't know much about church at all. You know, I remember when I got saved, and I didn't get saved till I was 19, almost 20, and I began to try to study the Word of God. I remember before I got saved, I took a college course, and they made us study the book of Job, and they made us study the book of Genesis. And I remember writing a paper about it, and I did the best I could because I really didn't understand because I didn't have it in my heart. But I owe everything that God has given me to this Word right here that He's given me, and He's delivered it to us through our pastor. And I want to thank Him this morning publicly for that. Getting back to where He is, He's a strength for those who are shaken. And this is what Luke says. He said, I want you to think about this. We live in a day where if you're saved, I want you to know this morning you have a cross. And I want to tell you what a weary, discouraged bunch will be is a people that's got a cross up on their shoulder and they're not going anywhere. We have many people, I believe there's many people not here in Bowden, Georgia that are saved, you know, and they're a disciple of Christ or a follower of Christ. And they've got their cross raised up high on their shoulder, but they're not going anywhere for Christ. And I tell you, when you get in that predicament, you'll become shaken. And I've been in that same position. I got shaken the other morning. I said, Lord, how am I going to finish all this work so I can go on vacation, much less take a vacation? You know, and I began to think about all that things. And I began to think about a follower of Jesus who had their cross on their shoulder. And they raised up that cross and they did not go anywhere for Jesus. You see, Jesus is our foundation. And if you're going to build a good building, you know what you're going to have? A good foundation. Out here, we're building a new wing on here. You know what it's got to have? If it's going to stand, it's got to have a good foundation. Or else you know what will happen? It'll be a shaking. There's a parable in the Bible about a wise man and a foolish man. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the Bible said that it fell. And great was the fall of it because he built it upon the sand. He didn't build it. The wise man built his house upon a rock. I want us to look at this. It was a strength for the shaken. David said, when my heart's overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David said, there's some things that come along in my life that was so overwhelming. You'll find David, the first time you'll find him in the Bible is found over in 1 Samuel chapter number 16. And you'll find David, he was there, he was playing the harp. Old Saul come on the scene and he brought David in and he'd play the harp for him. And he said when he played, the spirit would depart from Saul, and he chose him out to do that. And then you'll find him next of all, David. You'll find him in First Samuel chapter 17 when he slayed the giant Goliath of Gath. You know, and David overcome a lot of things that day. His brothers wouldn't fight him. Saul wouldn't fight him, and Saul became. David defeated the giant, and all those people that came back into town, and David had. He defeated that giant with a sling, a little rock, and it sunk in his forehead, and he came and he cut his head off. And I tell you what those women of the town said, and it made Saul mad as the devil. He said, for Saul has slain his thousands, but David has 10,000s. And let me tell you what began to happen. The man that was writing this was a man who lived his life looking over his shoulder. He's looking for Saul. Because Saul sought to kill him all the days of his life because of that. Saul became to be jealous. And I'm going to tell you those things that came up in David's life that began to shake his life because he had to live his life looking over his shoulder. Who's going to get me? And I'll tell you what David did. You'll find him over in 1 Samuel chapter 19. You'll find him, he had hooked up with a guy named Jonathan, and Jonathan became his best friend, which was Saul's son. And the Bible said their heart was knit together. It do us good this morning to get some brothers and sisters in our life, and we'd knit our heart together because we can be in one mind and one accord. And let me tell you what, 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse number 2, you'll find that Jonathan had told David, he said, go find you a secret place and hide thyself. It do you good to hide sometimes. Get out from under the weight of this world and hide. Then you'll find David over in 1 Samuel chapter 24. You'll find him where he follows Saul into a cave. And you know what he did? He cut off the skirt of his robe and he kept it. And the Bible said the Spirit of God smote his heart, for he cut off that little piece of Saul's robe. And David said, I couldn't touch the Lord's anointing. David had a chance to kill Saul. And he had a chance to end all of his problems right there if he'd have killed Saul. He could have ended all that stuff. It was overwhelming. All that stuff that was going to so suppress his life. He could have ended it by killing Saul. But he didn't. He said, I will not suffer to touch the Lord's anointing. You'll see that David found out he was a strength for the shaken. Even though David was overwhelmed with all the stuff that was going around him, he found out that there was something that was higher than him, something that was bigger than him, something that he could hold on to in the time of trouble. Not only is he a strength for the shaken, he's a shelter from the storm. You'll look down in Psalm 61, verse number 3. It says, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. You know what David was saying there? He said, you've been a shelter for me. I remember one time I was out playing golf. And if you ever play golf, you know you're basically just holding a lightning rod when a storm comes up. Or if you're out in the middle of the lake and you're out fishing, you're out there in the middle of just holding basically a lightning rod. I was out there playing golf one time and a big old storm blew in, you know, and I did not go out there in the middle of the golf course and say, hold up my lightning rod and say, strike me, Lord. You know what I did? I sought for that shelter. On most golf courses, what they have a shelter that you can get under. And you know what that does? It keeps you safe from the storm, from the elements of the weather that is around you. Sometimes God needs to be your shelter. Let Him hide you. David, a lot of times you'll find David, he was a man that suffered disappointments. He was a man that suffered death. God took his son from him, you know, when he committed the sin with Bathsheba. David was a man that was full of distresses, but I tell you what he had to do. He had to find him a secret place, and he had to find him a hiding place, and he had to make that shelter God. And he, a lot of times you'll find David, he'll go hide himself. Because you see, a lot of times for God, the same God that'll tell you to go show yourself will be the same God that'll say, go hide yourself as well. And David found that he needed to hide himself. He said, thou hast been a shelter from me. I lived in the boys across the road from us when I was growing up. They are, I guess, what you call a real-life cowboys, the people that live across the road from me. They go to the cow sales every day. They're at it every morning. That's all they do. They don't work in a factory. They don't have a job like what we would call it. They're constantly selling cattle or herding cattle. But when I was growing up, they had chickens. If you look down in verse number 4, he said, I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Those boys had chickens, and I tell you what they do. We'd go over there and we'd try to collect the eggs, and I'd help them out. And you know what that mother chicken do, that mother hen? We did not try to get those eggs when that mother hen was sitting on them. You know why? Because it was going to hurt us. It was going to peck us to death. It was going to do everything it could. Because that was a great picture of that mother trying to spread her wings over those little eggs and showing them safety and showing them there was a shelter in a time of storm. And that's the same thing God wants to do you. He wants to cover you sometimes. He wants you to hide you under His wings. And I'm going to tell you, there's things in this world that's going to come upon you. It may be finances. It may be your job. But I tell you, there's shelter from the storm underneath God. Get under the shadow of His wings and let Him hide you. The third thing here, Hurley, I want us to look at, not only is He a shelter from the storm, but He's a standard for the saints. Look down in verse number 5. It says, "For thou, O God, hast heard my vows, and hast given me a heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his generations as many as generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him." I want you to know he's a standard for the saints. I want you to look, first of all, that he said that he has heard, that, "Oh God, thou hast heard my vows." Almost 10 years ago, I stood in a little church up in Jacksonville, Arkansas, and I made vows to a woman sitting right there on the front row of that bench. Almost 10 years ago. I made a vow not only to her. I made a vow to God. God, his vows are a lot more greater than the vows that we even vow to our wife. David said, you know what? He said, he reminded God, he said, back in all those times that you sheltered me, all those times I was shaken, you remember that time I made those vows to you? He said, "I'll serve you." And he said, "Remember that, oh God." He gave him those vows and he could go back to it. And you know what he gave them to him for? For a heritage. The second part of that verse says, "Thou hast given me a heritage of those that fear thy name." I want you to think about this. And I began thinking about this. We must run a good race for those who went before us. There's people that's given their life so we could be standing here today. There's people that have paid the price so we could live in a free nation. Not only that, they paid the price that we could live in a good church. And they paid the price so we could have a good home. You say, "Well, I didn't have a good home." You can start one. Today is the day. We also not only run a good race for those who went before, we ought to run a good race for those who are here now. God's given us people that are all around us that they're looking at your life. There's many times that people look at your life and you don't even recognize it. I remember one time I was up in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, away from everybody, and it was just me and my wife. And we sat down in a Chick-fil-A, and I began to pray over our meal, and I had an old lady come up to me. I did not know her, and I wouldn't know her today if she'd come in here today, but she said, "I appreciate you praying over your meal before you did it." She recognized that. There's people looking at your life, not only your kids, but there's people all around you that need you to be the example that God wants us to be. We also should run a good race, not for those only that are here now, but those who are coming up. You see, I got a 7-year-old boy, and I need to run a good race for him because I'm leaving him a heritage behind. See, people are wanting to leave money to their kids. They're wanting to leave all the things of the world. They believe that today you'll see people out on the lake saying, "It's July the 4th, it's a good time to be off." But I'm going to tell you what it's leading them. It's leading a bad heritage. Not long ago, my son, he made the All-Star team in baseball. And I love for him to play sports. But I'll tell you what, we're going to have him. We're going to try to have him in the house of God. He went down there and played on Saturday. And they said if they lost on Saturday, you know what they'd have to do? They'd have to play on Sunday. And I began to think about that. And I went to my son. I said, "If y'all lose, you're not going to get to play." And you thought he'd have got mad. But I'm going to tell you what he did. He said, "Well, you can go into the dugout and preach to him." That's exactly what he told me. And I'm going to tell you, you may think your kids don't understand, but they do understand whenever stuff like that happens. He said, "You just go in there and preach to them." But he did understand it. And his team actually won on that Sunday. But I want to teach him this. Not that baseball is bad, but I want to teach him that there are things more important than baseball. See, I want to be more concerned about my son's, his dying than his living. And I'm sure you are too. This is what the Bible said in Psalm chapter 145 and verse number 4. It said, "One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts." I'm going to tell you this. It'd be nothing for something to come up in our life and blow us out of this thing. And you know what it do? It don't only affect you. It affects those generations behind you. You see, in that Bible, if you'll follow these people, like David, you'll follow him. You'll follow his lineage. David, he did things what was right, and his sons behind him did what was right. And then you'll find those old kings that didn't know God and didn't want to serve God, and you'll find their sons and their daughters didn't want to serve God and didn't want to follow God. So don't think when you get blown out of this race, you're only affecting yourself. See, people would love to think that this morning. They love to think that I'm only affecting myself, but I tell you what you affect. You affect all those generations that are following down behind you. Not only is he a... He's a strength for the shaken, a shelter from the storm. But I want to say a standard for the saints. He's also a song for the soldier. Look what verse 8 said. He says, "So I'll sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." And I began to think about that old song by Dottie Rambo. She said, I'm sheltered in the hands of God. And this is what she pinned down. She said, I feel the touch of hands so kind and gentle. They're leading me in paths that I must trod. I have no fear when Jesus walks beside me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. And this was the chorus of that song. She says, so let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise. They won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth can harm me. I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. I'm glad God knows how to shelter us. David learned that with a song, he could also perform his vows. And I'm not talking about singing a song about achy, breaky heart. We ought to sing spiritual songs. We ought to sing those songs that encourage our heart and that stir us. That's why when we sing songs in the church, you know what that does? It's actually setting the service. We ought to come in here prayed up. If you sing, you ought to be prayed up and say, God, use me in some form or fashion that I can touch what you want me to do so I can have discernment. The last thing I want us to look at, I wrote this down. I said, Jesus is a place you can run to. Jesus is a person you can lean on. Jesus is a path you can trust in. This is what David said. We'll turn one more place and we'll be done. Turn to Psalm chapter number 27 and verse number 4. That's what the psalmist David said. He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to acquire in His temple. And here it is. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yeah, I will sing praises unto the Lord. I think David said he was a song for the soldier. See, David found out that he could perform his vows if he trusted in the Lord. You may be here this morning and you vowed many vows. You know, and God, don't think God didn't hear him. The Bible says if we vow, we ought to pay what we vow. But I want you to know God is a shelter for those. Shelter from the storm. He's a strength for those who are shaken. He's a standard for the saints. But He's also a song for the soldier. Thank you.